Hello friends, my name is Dev. We are reading book Tell Me a Story, edited by Ravindra Singh. Clean Slate, written by Sukanya M. She writhed and winced and convulsed, and seeing her do all these things left me transfixed. I would have continued to stare had my aunt not shut my eyes with her hand and almost dragged me out of the room. She put me to bed, placed a blanket over me, and whispered in my ears that my mom was going to be fine, and walked out. In spite of her outward composure, it was evident that the incident had shaken her too. I tossed and turned as my fear escalated with every passing second, till I finally gave in to sleep. When I woke, it took me a while to figure out that we were traveling in a car. I was seated on my aunt's lap. She told me that we were on our way to the hospital where my mom was admitted. Then she instructed me to go back to sleep, perhaps to silence any further questions, to which I suspect she herself had no answers. After a while, I woke up, and the smell, typical of hospitals, that my nostrils registered confirmed that we were there at last. There was a deathly silence about the place, interrupted only by the screeches of the wheels of stretchers and the sounds made by those who walked or talked rarely. The silence amplified the million horrifying, torturous questions inside our heads. For some time, I followed my dad, who was walking into counters and consulting rooms, paying bills for different laboratory tests and other such expenses. He wore a serious and worried expression and was perspiring in an air-conditioned hall. Reason one, because my mom's health reports were showing dire results. The second reason was money. Detection and treatment of diseases cost money, and there was not that much to spend for a lower middle class family like ours. Beside me, my grandma had started chanting hymns. She felt praying could help my mom to overcome the adversity, so I forwarded my own prayer. Oh God, please help my mom get better. And by better, I mean out of hospital and healthy enough to be doing all the things she was doing, else you might lose some of the believers of your miracles. This is your test, God. Hope you fare well. I know challenging the ego works with humans, but I did not know how it was with God. I hoped that it would have the same effect. With these thoughts, I ended the prayer feeling more hopeful. After all, I had just done all that I could. It seemed like we waited in those corridors for an eternity with no updates about what was happening inside. Not until the needle on the hospital's clock swept a lazy 180 degree did something happen. But when it happened, it was all too quick. I could spot more familiar faces entering the hospital, and it was no coincidence, I was later informed, that they had come there to give us both financial and moral support. For families like ours, the most important asset is people and their goodwill, which translates into help at times of need. Long spells of quiet followed, I whiled away the time by reading and memorizing signboards that was put up here and there on the hospital walls. I read them once, twice, thrice, and finally after I had read them the fourth time, I knew I needed to find another way to pass my time. Actually, the habit of reading anything I see was drilled into me by Mom. She insisted that I read every signboard on the road, wherever we travelled. It was her idea to help me read fast and learn pronunciations. It was a challenge I had liked when I was a kid. Such thoughts made me miss my mom, who now lay unconscious and alone in the sterilized room with masked people and beeping machines. I had to think of some way to divert my mind. The only rescue was the coffee corner at the hospital. I nagged my grandma to take me there, cooking up a desire for coffee. Before I could finish sipping the steaming coffee, the walls of the hospital echoed with a ringing cell phone. We were asked to come to the ward immediately. And what I saw, there was a picture of hysteria. I spotted my uncle in a frenzy walking towards me. Yes, a bigger part of my family was now there in the hospital premises. I could not read a thing from his expression. That's the thing about adults, isn't it? The faces never show how they feel inside. When he was close enough and I confident enough that I was audible, I mouthed a single word, "Mom." He responded in three words, "She is dead." This time, it was I who became blank, not just in my expressions, but in my mind as well. The hospital sounds appeared to be muted to me, but for a moment, I am not sure how long or short, the noise within shook me. "She is dead. My mom is dead. My mom is dead." One big question buzzed in my mind. What is that supposed to mean? Honestly, I did not know what I supposed to feel. Till then, I had seen death as a part of a movie or a story. And all of a sudden, something I had thought was alien and abstract to me had already become my reality. I saw a hospital staff member handing over my mom's jewelry to my dad, and then my mom was packed into an icebox, moved into an ambulance while we boarded our hired car back home. Death, I believe, is not an experience for the dead but for the living. A crowd was already waiting at our home, family and friends, and 3 in the morning. Sending off the dead to heaven is an elaborate process. Ritual after ritual continued, and that, I guess, is so because it helps to register the fact that the dead is dead. Tears, tears and tears everywhere. Everyone was crying, was offering their condolences and consolation to people she was attached to, which obviously included me. Aunties and uncles whom I could not even recognize, whose names I did not know, offered their sympathies to me. Personally, for me, it was a kind of humiliating experience to be at the receiving end of their sympathy. While I was struggling to figure out what all of this meant to me, people around me understood the situation in their own way. According to them, this was the most devastating and crippling event in my life. The dent this had created in my destiny was irrevocable, irreparable, and I was eternally cursed with motherlessness. Still, I did not cry. My eyes seemed as dry as desert. The numbers had not worn off yet. I behaved like a video recorder. My eyes saw all it could. My ears heard all they had to. Just that I could not react to any of it. Finally, the inevitable happened. She was taken to the graveyard. It was only then I shed my first tears. My tears, my griefs, was for a fellow human who had been, for most part of our 4-decade-long life, identified by her physical self, was to be erased out of existence. Except, of course, the countless memories of her that we would carry around all our lives. After a week, the elders got into the life must go on mode, and all of us made an effort to fall back into our routines. It was another jolt of reality that our routine was no more the same. We had a missing link. I moved in with my maternal grandparents, while my father moved in with his widowed sister, who lived with one of her brother-in-laws and his family. This was the best setup we could come up with then, strictly elders' decisions. Did I feel sad? Actually, I was not supposed to, and mostly I did not, because my grandparents, my uncles, my aunts went out of their way to pamper me and guard me from the harsh realities of being motherless. However, the realization of what her death signified came to me in doses. One day, my uncle stayed back to help me with my school work, and that particular assignment got me extra credits. I called him up and thanked him profusely. I'd always earned accolades and appreciation for whatever I had done, with my mom's help as well. Yet not even once had I taken a moment to share a good word with her about it. The penultimate episode that erased my numbness happened when one of her friends, yes, her friendships were alive even after she had left the world, stopped by to gift me a storybook, The Malgudi Days by R.K. Narayanan. I thanked her friend as much as I could for her affection. She tearfully returned my thanks and said it was she who had to thank me for my sheer existence, because I was a beautiful reminder of a beautiful person who had left the world, and how doing something for me helped her miss my mom less. I stood there rooted, taking in all emotions of loss, grief, friendship, and love. Surprisingly, for someone like me who hated books, I finished the novel in next 2 days. My newborn love for books was the best parting gift my mom had left for me. Did I miss my mom? Did her absence choke me to tears? Actually, no. As a matter of fact, I was only now noticing the presence my mom had in my life. Till then, whatever she did, I had taken for granted. It was her absence that spoke loudly of her presence to me. I sang in my tears when it struck me that I had been so blind to all her love and care that I missed acknowledging the person who was deserving of many thanks and much more, which I was conveying to others now. I hated myself for the apathy I had shown my mom and bitterness and the dislike I had displayed because I did not like her going to work, leaving me on my own. It seemed to me that spending time with me was her last option. Began to realize with shame that she was busy building support for my future, on which I was to thrive from now on, both financially and morally. Forgiving myself became even more difficult when I read an excerpt from her journal. "Such an angel she is. A lot of times I envy my mom, who gets to take care of my daughter for most of the time. The only time I get with her is when she is almost asleep. Had it not been for the tablets that put me to sleep, I'm sure I could spend nights just looking at her. To hell with my work. Never leaves me with any time for her. How much I wish to just quit my job and be with her full time, like she asked me to. But that is not a possibility if I want the best for her, and she deserves nothing less, this angel." My guilt grew to such heights that I began to feel that it was because I was so undeserving of my mom that the gods had to call her back to heaven. But I did not have to live with the guilt for a long time. All I had to do to get out of self-inflicted misery was flip through a few more pages of her journal, and there it was, a note from her. "After the brain surgery, they call it a miracle, then I am able to function normally. I am even going to resume work in few months. But if it is a miracle that all this is happening, I would attribute it to my little Anjali. She was my only inspiration to come back to life. It is a joke that it was I who brought her to life. This wonderful girl whom I happened to mother is the only reason the gods have spared me. It was she who brought me my life for one other time." It was a relief after I read it. Maybe she wrote it when she was too emotional. Nevertheless, I was in a phase in which I understood that our feelings make most of what we perceive as reality. The final incident that happened before I fully internalized and digested my mom's death occurred when I was taken to meet my father after many months. We first stopped at a bank where we had to sign some papers so that money that was credited to us from the workplace of my mother would be used for my benefits. The next stop was the house he lived in. It was news to me that he had moved out of my aunt's. A not very young lady opened the door. A lot of silence followed, in which the lady went off to make tea, and my father and I settled in on the cushions. To break the silence, my dad spoke, introduced to me to the woman there my name, school, grade, and that was intelligent and all that blah. I put on a smile as the lady nodded her head to put things in context, introduced the woman to me, one single statement after which an awkward silence followed. "This is my wife," he said. I absorbed it. I nodded my head. I did not quite know what else or how else to respond. I could feel my legs go weak. I was happy that I was already seated. Within me, I could feel all the emotions that humanity would have endured when Nicholas Copernicus had first proved that the earth was indeed spherical and not flat. There is this noise that one hears when one's beliefs are shattered, a noise that will want you to wish that you were deaf lest you hear it. This was exactly what happened when I heard him say that. Till then, I had believed as a fact that only once mom could be once dad's wife. But I was proven wrong, partially wrong, if I may say so. The atmosphere was fraught with emotions and anxiety. The place felt strangely familiar, because I could see the things which I had grown up with, the sofa, the curtains, the table, etc. Strange, because I felt disowned even amidst these familiar things. I could not avoid looking at the woman for long, and from what I saw, it seemed to be that she was not half bad as Cinderella's stepmom, but that was not enough for me to accept her as family. I'm going back to grandma's, right? I wanted immediate confirmation. I could not stay there any longer. My dad started to say something, but all he ended up saying was yes. What a relief. You should know, it is not like what you think. I wanted to ask him what he thought I was thinking, because I myself had difficulty placing my thoughts. People always assume what you are thinking or how you are feeling. It is an adult thing. I'm sure you will understand me when you are older. I want you to understand that I had wished you a mother as much as I wished myself a wife. Oh my God, will you please cut that crap out? I wanted to say. Life should go on, you see. The point is that I felt so lonely, vulnerable, and afraid to go through it alone. So I had to do this. He was breaking down. There were tears in his eyes. I quickly said, Dad, it is your life. You need not to explain anything to me. Let us save ourselves from this discussion, please. So that was the truth. He had succumbed to pity, unlike me, who found her great love, fortunately or unfortunately, after her demise. My grandparents were obviously very disturbed by his remarriage. I did not allow myself to be bothered by it much, because like they say, it was out of my locus of control, so I just let it pass, and eventually everybody else did the same. And yes, life went on. But there was a huge difference now. I had figured out so many things through all this. Of all those, greatest discovery and learning was that, as they say, through the labor pain, a woman goes through death and is born again as mother. This time mom went through death and did not make her journey back. But thing is, I was born again as clean as slate, but this time I was careful about what was going to be written into me as beliefs, facts, and faiths, in ways that cannot be explained through human language. I am confident that her death taught me more than what 100 lives would have. It is not to be understood that she thought of me as someone who would be unable to pick up life lessons like an average person. Her intention, if there was one, was to fast track my learning. Godspeed was her farewell wish to me for the journey called life. Thank you.